This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. Man, I missed you guys. Good to be back with you. Gosh, you know, that song that we just heard, what a song. You know, I don't know about you, but I think that song sort of reflects what I feel sometimes in my spiritual journey and with what God's doing in my heart, especially that line of the song that goes, whatever you're doing inside of me, it feels like chaos. You ever feel that way? You know, I mean, it's almost like you can sense that God is doing something inside of you, you know, that he's calling you to something new, something different. And on one hand, it's really uncomfortable, right? And it's very chaotic, almost. And yet, at the same time, just like the song says, there's this peace. It's like the scriptures talk about this peace that transcends all understanding, you know, in our lives, even in the midst of that chaos. And of course, the journey that I'm talking about is the journey you hear us talk frequently about, and that is our spiritual journey, our journey of following Jesus. And I think journey is a pretty good word for it, don't you? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, following Christ is certainly not about, you know, reaching some pinnacle or reaching some sort of destination. It is a journey. And it's a journey where it's as though God is constantly calling us. He's constantly guiding us and leading us. And see, here's the beauty of it too. Here's the thing that's beautiful. And this is what part of what I love about the Orchard is that since all of us are at a different place in that journey, that next step, that leading, that calling of God in each of our lives looks a little bit different for each of us, doesn't it? You know, for some of you, you're very new to this journey. And so for you, this journey has sort of brought you to this place in life where you've seriously begun rethinking a lot of things. I mean, you've been rethinking how you think about God, how you even think about some of the, what you might even consider mundane parts of life, how you spend your money, how you treat people, how you treat your husband or your wife or dating or any of those kind of things. And for you, you've just begun rethinking. And while that is, I think, in and of itself a bit challenging, it's also one of the most freeing things, I think, that can happen to us. And I think for others of us, it's as though God has been, I think, like awakening something within us. And he's been calling us to embrace this courage and this faith like we've never embraced it before. And then perhaps there's some of you, you know, where you might be at in your journey, and it's you know, you just kind of come to this place in your life where that calling is to just finally surrender, to finally let go, which is very easy to do, right? It's a big challenge sometimes, and because, I mean, I understand it can be hard, and it's not because you don't want to surrender, it's not because you don't believe in God, it's not because you don't have faith. I mean, it's just the fact, probably, that you're struggling to accept the fact that there's actually a God who can love you unconditionally. And so God is constantly calling us. And today, as we continue this series, One Prayer, this series that over a million people around the world are engaged in at the same time, we are going to talk today. And I want to talk today about one of what I believe is one of the most important steps that God has called each of us to in our lives. In fact, it's such an important step that it's one of the very last things Jesus actually spoke about before he hightailed it up to heaven. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to go to the book of Matthew. Would you turn there with me? Matthew is, Matthew, by the way, is the first book of the New Testament. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 28. Now, Jesus is sort of gathered together with his followers right before he's getting ready to take back off to heaven. And before he goes, he says these words to them. Let me show you. Matthew 28, verse 19. I want to read from the Message, a little MSG for you here this morning. No headaches, though, I promise. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus says this, "Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He goes on to say, then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. And then there's this beautiful promise that Jesus gives them. Because if you can imagine, they are worried, right? Because their leader, their Savior is going to be leaving them. And so thankfully, Jesus says this last part here to them. I will be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. And so Jesus says, look, okay, before I go, here's what you need to do, okay? And this is important. I mean, I'm like using my last words here on this earth to tell you this, okay? He says, I want you to go out and I want you to train everybody you meet and introduce them to this way of life. I love that phrase, don't you? Way of life. You know, notice he doesn't say, I want you to introduce them to a segment of your life. He says, I want to introduce you to a way of life. And he says, I want you to mark them by what? What does it say here? By what? Oh, maybe we need to back up. Ready? Marking them by baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, we are going to talk about baptism. Now, there's a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different ideas out there about baptism, right? I mean, for example, you have people and churches who believe that, well, the only way to be saved is by getting baptized. In other words, if you do not get baptized, there's no way that you'll ever get to heaven. Some believe that baptism is something you should do right when you're born, right? And you should baptize perhaps as an infant or as a baby. All kinds of ideas. In fact, and then, of course, there's a lot of different ideas about how you should baptize, right? What is the proper way? Is it proper to sprinkle? Is it proper to, some people believe you should only baptize in a river or a lake. Some believe you should only use holy water. Speaking of holy water, do you know how holy water is made? Do you know? It's very simple, actually. You grab a pot, okay, and you fill it up with water. You place it on the stove, you turn the heat up as high as it'll go, and you boil the hell out of it. That was funny. In case you don't know that was funny. Okay, anyway, some of you are like, seriously, really? Is that how? Wow. And you put some salt in there and some pasta, and you'll have a great lunch. Anyway, no. The bottom line is a lot of different ideas, a lot of different teachings out there in the church world about baptism. But here's the deal. Today, what I think we should do is instead of looking and trying to figure out what all the different churches teach, I really think we should just open up the scriptures and see what the scriptures teach us. Because ultimately, I mean, that is really the most important thing, isn't it? So let's do that. Let's go back a few chapters in Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, as you're turning there, let me just sort of give you a little bit of background on baptism, a little bit of the history behind it. Because, see, baptism is not anything new. No, in fact, the idea of baptism has been around a long time. In fact, it goes way back even before the time of Christ. And it finds its roots in a very beautiful Jewish ritual known as mikvah. Now, we don't have time to get into that today. I've taught on that before. It might sound familiar to you. But basically, the mikvah was an important ritual for people who were converting to Judaism, which is why it must have been a little bit strange when one day Jesus himself shows up at the Jordan River to be baptized. And in fact, Matthew chapter 3 tells us what happens. Matthew 3 verse 13, listen to this. It says, Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Everyone say John. Now, let's talk about John for a second, okay? John, a mysterious fellow, kind of weird. Yeah, and first of all, he was a cousin of Jesus. And he was also known as John the Baptist, okay? Now, the reason he was known as John the Baptist was not because he was Baptist. No, he was known as John the Baptist because, can anyone guess? Yeah, he baptized people. Very good. See, it's so deep theological right there, right? He baptized people. See, listen, Baptist, I'm just going to crush some of you. Baptist was not the name of a denomination back then. Okay, just so you know. Jesus didn't have other cousins running around like, you know, Simon the Methodist or Bubba the Episcopalian or, you know, Patty the Pentecostal or something, you know. So anyway, John the Baptist, really interesting guy, and but totally passionate about helping people to understand that knowing God here and knowing God here are two totally different things. And so anyway, so one day Jesus shows up to be baptized by John. Look what happens, verse 14. But John tried to talk him out of it. Understandable, isn't it? John tried to talk him out of it. He said, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? I mean, it's not hard to understand why John would be a little bit freaked out. I mean, Jesus Christ, a.k.a. the Son of the living God, shows up and says, hey, John, baptize me. And you know, John is like, what you're talking about, Willis? You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. But then in verse 15, Jesus said, it should be done this way. This is how it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And then something really beautiful happens if we keep reading. Look at verse 16. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Wow, what a powerful moment. See, this baptism was not just a symbolic event for Jesus. No. It was something much bigger than that. I mean, something very, very powerful was happening at that moment. Someone, please answer your phone. Lord have mercy. It's probably mine sitting back there. See, this was not just a symbolic moment in the life of Jesus. This was something very, very powerful. His Father, I mean, think about this. God, the Father, the creator of the universe, looks down and he says to Jesus, he says, this is my Son. This is my Son. That's my boy. And he brings me great joy. I mean, see, this was an extremely significant moment. I mean, all the way around, if you think about it. I mean, it was significant for John. I mean, what an honor to baptize Jesus, right? And then if you think about it, I mean, of course it was significant for Jesus, because this was sort of like the launching pad into his ministry. But it was also significant for his Father, for God, the creator of the universe. And guess what? The same is true for you and me today. Baptism is not only something that was significant back then, it is something that is significant in your life and mine right now. And see, part of the reason baptism is so significant for us is because of what God, if you really think about what God is calling us to through baptism. In fact, if you have your service guide, would you take it out? I want to give you three things in particular to write down this morning. And even if you've already been baptized, I want you to write these down, because this is such a great reminder of that step of faith you took in your life. But I want to give you three things that God is calling us to in our lives through baptism, okay? Now, let's go ahead and dive right in. Here's the first one, okay? Through baptism, first and foremost, God is calling us to stand with him. Would you say that phrase with me? Ready? Stand with him. Now, go ahead and write that down. Through baptism, God is calling us to stand with him. And not just to stand, but God is actually calling us to make a very public stand, which is why baptism has always been a very public act. I mean, if you think about it in the life of Jesus, I mean, Jesus didn't go into the privacy of someone's home. He did not, go hide out to get baptized. Jesus goes out of all places to the Jordan River to get baptized, which is probably one of the most public places around. I mean, it's the place where people went to get their water. They went to wash their clothes, to, you know, cool off on a hot day, to go fishing or whatever. I mean, everyone gathered around there. It was a very, very public place. And that same tradition continued throughout the early church. I mean, listen, I mean, this is how in the early church, this was huge. Man, this is how in the early church, these people identified themselves with this man named Jesus. And it wasn't just like identify as in, okay, now I'm going to slap a couple Christian bumper stickers on my car. I'm going to put a little fish on my car or you know, I'm going to wear Christian t-shirts now or I'm going to do this. No, no. I mean, this was, or sign my emails, you know, God bless you, make his face shine upon you and peace and all that. That's nice. Thank you for those closings on your email because we need more text in the email. But anyway, try Twittering. It's a good habit. 140 characters. You're limited. Imagine if my sermons could be like Twitter. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, not going to happen. But anyway, no, see, this was major. I mean, these people, they were identifying themselves with Jesus. And just like today, it was about making a public declaration. I mean, it was standing up and saying, you know what? I have made the decision in my life to follow Jesus. And that's why when like someone comes to me, they'll say sometimes, hey, Scott, could we do like a private baptism? I go, what? No! Baptism was never meant to be private. It's very, very public. In fact, that's why when we do our big baptism each summer, listen, man, it's huge. We encourage you to invite everybody you know. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite your coworkers, invite your enemies, invite your ex. Is yeah, but Scott, isn't faith kind of a personal matter? It's kind of personal. Well, the answer to that is yes, it is. Now, our faith is a very personal matter, but it was never meant to be private. It was never meant to be hidden. And so, yes, faith is a very, very, it has to be. I mean, if you're really going to own your faith, it's got to be very personal to you. But it was never meant to be private or hidden. I love how the New Testament writer Paul describes it in Galatians chapter 3. Let me show you this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. He says this. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ. In fact, let's read this together. This would be good. All right, let's read it together. Here we go. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You see that phrase? He says there, all of you who were baptized have clothed yourself in Christ, okay? Now, of course, he's not talking about, you know, clothing ourselves with some sort of spiritual outfit that we put on when we just happen to feel spiritual. Or when, you know, it's Sunday, so we're going to put on our spiritual outfit or whatever it is. No, he says you have clothed yourself. You have covered yourself with Christ. I mean, what he's talking about here is huge. He is talking about taking on a new identity as a son or as a daughter of Christ. See, that's part of what God's calling us to through baptism. Publicly declaring that you have been clothed in Christ. And see, listen, this is so important because, you know what, we all have this tendency, I think, in our lives to sometimes, I think we sort of look at following Jesus as perhaps maybe a segment of our lives or a compartment of our lives. You know what I'm saying? It's like over here we have our social life, or one we wish we had a social life, but we have a social life, right? And then over here we have our work life, right? And then over here we have our family life, and then over here we have our God life might be more back here. We have our family life here. God's back here. And what happens? What happens? Well, if things aren't going real well in the social arena, well, then maybe I'll take a little bit of God and sprinkle him over here. Right? Or maybe my marriage isn't doing so well, so now it's time to really kind of bring God into it now that it's not going well. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, many of you, I mean, that's part of the reason you're here, because you've had some hurts in your life or things happen and you've been drawn to God. I mean, thank God you've been drawn to him during those times. But see, our faith, it was never meant to be segmented like that. I mean, spirituality was never meant to be just a part of our lives, a segment or a compartment. It was really meant to encompass every single part of us. I mean, to clothe us, to cover us. It's as though we've been rebranded as children of God. It's kind of like this wedding ring that I'm wearing here. Many of you also have one. Some of you used to have one, you don't now. And some of you are actually happy about that. Some of you don't have one and you're not happy. Some of you, one day you will have one and all the singles should get it. Some of the singles should get. No? Okay, fine. Okay, maybe it hasn't been going so well. But anyway, so I have this wedding ring on my finger. And if you think about it, a wedding ring is what? It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual commitment to my wife, right? It's declaring to everyone around me, hey, back off. All right? I'm taken. Seriously, ladies, back off. All right? I'm off limits, okay? And it's also saying, look, I belong to my wife. And of course, it's saying, my wife, she belongs to me. So step away from my wife right now in Jesus' name. Oh, man. And yet at the same time, in the same way that wearing a wedding ring doesn't automatically make you married, because, I mean, if you think about it, anybody can go out and buy a wedding ring, right, and wear it. Doesn't mean you're married. Listen, in the same way, listen, this is so important. Getting baptized does not make you a follower of Jesus. Did you hear me? Getting baptized does not make you a Christian. It just shows that you are one. Big difference. Baptism does not make you a follower of Jesus. It just shows that you are one. It's like the little kid that said to the pastor one time, "Pastor, I want to get advertised." No, what he meant to say was baptized, but it's kind of like that. I mean, it's really saying, look, I want to display my faith on the largest billboard possible without any shame or hesitancy, and I want everyone in my life and in my community to know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing, I think it's one thing for people to know that you're sort of a kind of a church-going person, or you go to church once in a while. But man, if you start telling people, loved ones, coworkers, friends, that you're going to get baptized? Whoa. Oh, man. Man, he's really serious about this stuff. Wow, she must really believe in this whole thing. So see, in baptism, you and I, we are responding to God's call to stand with him. And not just to stand, but to stand publicly. Now, there's a lot of different traditions when it comes to how you baptize people. You know, do you sprinkle, dip? Sounds like you're ordering ice cream at the Dairy Queen, doesn't it? I'll have the sprinkles. Maybe I'll take the dipped. Anyway, I love the dip. Do you mind like the dip cones? Oh, those are so good, aren't they? Ah, I'm getting one today. Okay, anyway. Okay, anyway. What was I saying? Sprinkle, dip, ice cream. Okay, sprinkle or dip. Yeah, people oftentimes say, how do you baptize? Do you spray? Do you dunk? Well, here at the Orchard, we practice what's known as full immersion. And I know that sounds really deep and theological. Full immersion, which basically means we just throw you all the way under the water, baby. All the way. I'll explain in a second. But anyway, no, it's full immersion. And part of the reason we baptize people and we put them all the way down under the water is because, first of all, the word baptize is a Greek word, baptizo. Say it with me. Ready? Baptizo means to wash, to dip, to immerse, to plunge under, to submerge. Now, the other reason is because we see that this is most likely how Jesus was baptized, because the scriptures tell us that when Jesus was baptized, it actually says in the account we even looked at, said when he came up out of the water, right? When he came up out of the water. So when we do our baptisms, what we do is we have you come in the water, and a pastor or leader will stand on one side of you. And then one thing we do that I think is really cool is if you have someone in your life who's helped impact you and influence you spiritually, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a mom or a dad, or maybe it's even a son or daughter who has been influential in your life and in your faith, we invite them to be a part of helping baptize you and whoever it might be. And then we have one person behind you, and basically we literally submerge you under the water like this. And if you have a lot of sin in your life, we just hold you down until we see bubbles. For some of you, it's a long, long time. I'm kidding. No, but listen, this is so important because, listen, going down into the water is symbolic of the second thing I want you to write down, and it's this right here, that this is God's calling. Ready? To die with him. Would you say that with me? Die with him. Say it again. Die with him. This is God's calling, to die with him, okay? And so go ahead and write that down. And baptism represents God's calling to die with him. I know that might sound kind of dark, kind of weird, but this whole idea, this I guess you could say this metaphor of death is used over and over throughout the scriptures in regards to baptism. Let me show you in Romans 6, verse 3. Paul says this: "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death." So here's the deal. When you go down into the water, It is a symbolic sign that you are dying to the old way of life. And again, this is representative of something very powerful. Don't miss this. Something very powerful. I mean, this is about being set free from the power of sin in your life. And sometime when you have a chance, continue to read in Romans 6, because Paul talks about here how our old sinful selves, okay, that's the old part of us that sometimes it still creeps up once in a while, doesn't it? No? Is it just me? Maybe it's just me. Anyway, sometimes it creeps up right up here while I'm standing in front of you. But anyway, no, but that old man that sometimes, or the old woman that shows itself, it's that ugly past, right? But anyway, what happens here is Paul talks about how the old sinful selves have been crucified with Christ, and that we are no longer slaves to sin, because when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. That's powerful. Now, does that mean, you know, you'll never struggle with sin? No, because you know what? Sin is a daily struggle for all of us, isn't it? We fight temptation. We mess up all the time, right? But what it does mean is that there is freedom from that hold and that bondage that sin tends to have in our lives. And here's what begins to happen. And some of you, you're beginning to see this in your life, and it's causing you to be uncomfortable, but it's actually a good thing, is that there are things in your life, and there are sins, there are things you have done in your life that you used to not really get too bothered by, but as you begin to progress in your walk with Christ, you suddenly are beginning to get more and more uncomfortable with those things still happening. And on one hand, I know it's frustrating because you go, man, I just want to, I hate this. But you know what? That's just a sign that God is at work in your life. And your desires are beginning to shift. I mean, before it didn't even bother you really that much, but now it's starting to bother you. What's happening now is you're learning more and more how to trust in the grace and the power of God in your life. And it's enabling you to become the person God created you to be. I mean, see, this is a lifelong process. I mean, your inside person is changed, but your outside, it takes an entire lifetime. I mean, it's not until we die from this earth and spend eternity with Christ that we really will know the fullness of who we were created to be. But this is the journey of moving forward. Now something I get asked a lot is about infant baptism. You know, Scott, what do we do? I mean, if I've been baptized as a child or as an infant, do I need to get baptized again? What does that mean? Well, I'm just curious. In fact, in the last couple of services, it was amazing how many people raised their hand. How many of you, I'd like to know, how many of you came from a religious background where you were baptized as an infant, or someone you know close to you was baptized as an infant or child? Would you raise your hand? Look around the room for a second. Wow, look at that. Isn't that something? Okay, put your hand down. One of the things we've discovered here at the Orchard is that a strong majority of people who we baptize are actually getting baptized a second time. And the reason for that is because the first time they were baptized as an infant, which was obviously an extremely important moment for who? The parents, right? You don't remember it, right? You're just trying to find yourself a new diaper. You don't remember it. Maybe you have some photos or something, but I mean, and you know what? Hey, it was a great step for your parents as they expressed their desire that their child would follow in the ways of God. But the key word there is it was their desire, okay? It was, in other words, it was their decision for their children, whereas baptism now is about your decision for you. Okay, there's a big difference there. And I'll also mention this, and I'm not one of those people that like to get into these theological debates. I mean, if I've had people try to come up at the end and try to debate, and I don't even have time for that. But I do want to say this, because I think sometimes there's sort of this guilt thing. I know some of you who are Catholic background, you're going, no, I can't imagine guilt. What are you talking about? Anyway, see, I'm from a Pentecostal background. I have my own guilt as well, okay? So anyway, we were both afraid we were going to go to hell all our lives, right? Okay. The difference was I was going on a bobsled. You were going in some other fashion, but I was going on an icy slope, okay? But anyway, but I want to mention this because I think sometimes there's sort of this guilt that people carry around with them as they step forward in their spiritual journey, because sometimes they feel like if they make the decision to get baptized, like somehow maybe they're letting their parents down because they're choosing a little bit of a different way, or because they're choosing to have their child dedicated and not baptized, that they feel like that's sort of a slap in the face for their parents or the faith they grew up in or whatever, or maybe they're insinuating that what their parents did wasn't good or whatever. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there's actually no mention or record anywhere in the scriptures of an infant or child being baptized. Nowhere. And so I just think you need to know that, because it's one thing to have a hesitancy in your heart because you're going against the scriptures, going against God's word. It's a whole other thing, though, when you have guilt in your heart and what you're going against is not a biblical mandate, but it's a man-made tradition. And there's nothing wrong with man-made traditions, because a lot of times they can point us to God and they're a positive thing. And I think probably for most of us, any of our parents who did that, their motives were absolutely beautiful, that there was their desire that you follow in the ways of God. So anyway, back to this baptism thing. There's no examples in the scriptures of infants being baptized. There are examples of babies and infants being dedicated to God, which is why we do parent-child dedication here. But there's no mention of that anywhere in the scriptures of the infant baptism. So I think probably a healthy way to look at this is that baptism now is simply a continuation of what your parents desired for you when you were an infant. It is a continuation. You are building off of what they set out to see happen in your life when you were an infant. The difference is that now you are making a decision for yourself, and that's a decision that no one else can make for you. And that's a decision that says, you know what, I'm going to stand with Christ. I'm going to stand with him. And through baptism, I'm going to die with him. In other words, that old person is no longer in charge. And then last, and here's the third thing I want you to write down, is that through baptism, God is calling us to live with him. Would you say that with me? Ready? Live with him. To live with him. And of course, not just to live with him, but to actually live for him. I mean, to live empowered. Let's go back to Romans 6, okay? Here's why we can live empowered, okay? This is huge. I mean, this right here is one of those passages that can really set you free. It says here, for we died, Romans 6, verse 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Listen, this is huge, okay? In baptism, okay, remember, there is the symbol of dying with Christ that's going down into the water. But thankfully, for the sake of oxygen, kidding, for the sake of something even much greater, There's also the coming up out of the water, which is the symbol of being raised with Christ. In other words, listen, this is a picture of new life. When you come up out of that water grave, you are declaring that you have a new life in Christ. You are declaring that God's Spirit is active in your life. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Don't try to figure that out. It's powerful. So in other words, you're not the same person you used to be. In other words, there is a second chance. Some of you, you've been told there's no second chances. There are second chances. Christ offers you a second chance. Your sins are forgiven. Listen to me. Listen, this is so huge. Now, at this moment, when you receive Christ into your life, and when you get baptized, coming up out of that water, you know what that's representing? It's representing the fact that you now stand before God as though you have never done anything wrong before. Some of you need that. We all need it. But some of you need to hear that today. That you have the opportunity to stand before God. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see the stained, sin-filled, addicted, baggage-carrying person. He sees someone who has never done anything wrong before. You are now made righteous and holy. Not because of how good you are, not because of how well you can quote the Bible, not because of how many times you go to church, not because of anything that has anything to do with your goodness. It all has to do with his goodness. With his goodness. That's a fresh start. I love how we're reminded of this in 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Would you read that? Let's read that together, can we? Ready? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Keep reading, ready? The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I mean, what a promise. Now, see, here's the problem, though. We oftentimes read the scripture and we stop right there. But here's the deal. If you keep reading, it becomes even more powerful. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Listen to this. All of this is a gift from God. In other words, you didn't give it to yourself. All right? You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. We already know that. You and I, we are messed up human beings. We cannot make it happen, okay? All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Now listen. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we are Christ ambassadors. Listen. God is making his appeal through us. He says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's a lot to absorb. Read that again later. This is powerful. Listen. I mean, it's powerful. The fact that you become a new creature. Some of you are creatures. Anyway, no, the fact that you become a new person is powerful, but yet what makes this so powerful now is not that now you can just feel better about yourself and, oh, I'm a good Christian now, I got baptized, and, you know, I hope that I can be prosperous and be in health and all of that great stuff, or, you know, we can just be happy or whatever. No, listen. The thing that makes it so powerful is that now you and I, we are empowered to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this earth. Yeah, we are empowered to be a part of reconciling and restoring this world and bringing it back into harmony with its creator. That's the power. And see, ultimately, it's really the most important thing, because here's the bottom line. It really doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. It doesn't matter how you could get baptized 100 times between now and next weekend. You could memorize the entire Bible. You could speak in tongues. You could be the most Pentecostal. You could lay hands on people. They could be healed. Whatever it is, but if whatever's happening to you on the inside doesn't push you out that way, what does it really matter? So yeah, you get to heaven, but you miss out on the entire purpose of your existence on this earth. And that's to be a part of the mission of Jesus, being a part of reconciling and restoring this world and bringing it back into harmony with its creator. And so here's the deal. As we close out today, if you have never taken the step of going public with your faith in Jesus Christ through baptism, I'm going to challenge you today to make the decision right now before you go to do it. And I know there's some of you, you've been holding off, and you've been saying, you know, Scott, I'm just not ready. I know it's important, and I'm a follower of Jesus. Yes, I've made the decision, but I just don't think I'm ready. I just don't think I want to yet. Listen. I'm going to challenge you today to stop thinking of reasons why not to get baptized. Because just think about what you're saying. Think about this. I mean, it's like, Jesus, I know you suffered and died for me, and that you clearly commanded that your followers should be baptized as a way of publicly declaring their faith in you. And Jesus, I will take you up on that sacrifice, but when it comes to obeying you in one of the most basic and first steps in my Christian life, when it comes to proclaiming to everyone around me that I'm a follower of Jesus, well, I think I'll just pass. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just does not seem like a great way to start on your journey of following Jesus. Because, see, following Jesus is going to involve a lot of hard decisions in your life. I mean, following Jesus is going to require a lot of, and many, 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 many steps of faith. It is going to take great courage, and it is going to take many moments of you taking a step, even though you feel uncomfortable, even though you don't feel worthy, even though you don't feel ready. And so here's the deal. This summer, in fact, on the afternoon of August 9th, we're going to have our huge water, our baptism celebration. We call it our barbecue and baptism. How many of you have ever been to our barbecue and baptism? Raise your hand high. Yeah, if you've never been to that, woo-hoo, man, first we barbecue you and then we baptize you. No, listen, it's a huge event. In fact, it's so huge that we actually, we center our entire summer around this event. It's an all-church event. Everybody shows up, and what happens is we still have our Saturday night gathering, we still have our 9 o'clock Sunday morning, we still have our 11 o'clock, but then later that day, we all come back together, we have a huge barbecue, no potlucks here, okay? And if you don't know what a potluck is, thank Jesus, all right? There's a reason they call it potluck. Okay, anyway, so we have a big barbecue, we eat our hearts out, then we have a repentance service because we've been gluttons. No, I'm just kidding. But then we walk right next door to Splash Country, and we take the place over, and we do our baptisms in the big pool there. And let me tell you, it is, and it's an awesome, awesome time, especially when we baptize you as you go down the slide. I'm just kidding. We don't do that. But that would be really cool, wouldn't it? Now, when you came in today, you should have, this card was on the seat in front of you. Would you grab that and take it out? Even if you've already been baptized, take this card, okay? And if you don't have a card, just reach behind you. Maybe the seat behind you will have one. Or if you can't find one, raise your hand. Our welcome teams are on it. They'll get one to you right now if you need one, okay? But here is a card that I want you to take out. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you, and I want everyone here, if you would, to be a part of this in one way or another. On the card, barbecue and baptism August 9th, please check all that apply. And here's your choices right here. First of all, I'm ready to get baptized. Sign me up. Some of you, that's where you're at right now. You're ready to make the decision. Mark it off. If you listen, everyone look at me. If you are a follower of Jesus and you have not gone public with your faith in Christ, it's not really about whether or not you feel ready. It's about that this is the right thing to do, to go public with your faith in Jesus. Mark it off. Say, I'm ready to get baptized. Or I'm interested but still have questions. Now, let me say, there might be some of you here, and you've not yet made the decision to follow Christ, and you're not ready to do that. You need to make that decision when you know it's the right time to make it. Okay, but if you have made, and that might take a while. We know that sometimes you have to journey through some questions and doubts and all of that, and that's fine. This is a great place to do that. But if you've made the decision to follow Christ, this is for you. I'm ready to get baptized. Or I'm interested but still have questions. Please have someone contact me. Or the third one, I'd love to help serve at the barbecue and baptism. Now, I should see all you Orchard people who are here all the time. I should see your hands moving right now because you're filling it out saying, yeah, I'm going to help, right? Okay, I'm looking. I'm just going to sit here and watch. Okay, some of you are sitting still. I will talk to you after the service. But go ahead and put your name, your email, your phone number, best time to contact you. And then in a few minutes, we're gonna close by giving, and you could put that in the giving bags, okay? But seriously, let me just say this, guys. Listen, as your pastor, if you've never taken this step in your life, let me just tell you that I want to invite you to be a part of this amazing day. And I want you to know that it would be it would be a huge honor to be a part of this huge next step in your life on August 9th, where you'll be joining together with a couple hundred people who'll be responding to God's call to stand with him. Remember, you're going to stand with him, and then remember, you're going to go down in the water. You're going to die with him, and you're going to come back up out of the water to live with him. And wow, what a moment. What a moment that will be. Not just for you. In fact, not even just for us, those of us who will be there, the thousand or so of us that will be watching it happen. Listen, just imagine. As a child of the creator of the universe, your heavenly Father, God, looking down at that moment with love and encouragement and affirmation, saying to you, saying to me, that right there is my son. That's my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, I know that today, just like every other day in our lives, you are calling us, and you are leading us. And because you're the one that's calling us and not ourselves calling us, it can be a little bit uncomfortable, and it requires steps of faith, requires courage, it requires risk. And God, I know that even right now, there are probably those here today who your call to them may not be yet to take that step of getting baptized, but maybe there's some here today, they haven't even taken the step yet of inviting you to be the leader of their life. And so maybe for them today, they're at a place where their next step forward is to just make the decision that they're going to come back again. Because it's just a really big deal that they've even come into a church today. And then, God, I think there's probably others here today who they have, they've heard over and over again about Jesus. They know that following Jesus is the best way to live their lives, and they desire to follow you. But there's just been something that's held them back. And maybe it's because they've tried to figure out this whole unconditional love thing. Maybe it's because they just don't feel worthy or whatever it might be. Today, God, would you help them in Jesus' name to surrender to you? And even with the issues, even with the doubts, even with the questions, even with all the dysfunctions and all the other stuff that we all have in our lives, God, I pray that even with all of that, those individuals would say, you know what, I'm going to step out in faith today, and I'm going to come to God just as I am right now. And I'm going to open my heart, and I'm going to ask Jesus to become the leader, the Lord, and the Savior of my life. And if that's you, if that's where you're at today, I invite you right now, just right where you're sitting, just to open your heart and in your own way, just reach out and say, Jesus, I don't even fully know what it means because this is a bit overwhelming for me, but I know it's right. And so today I open my heart and I invite you to be my King, my leader, my Lord, my Savior. And then I know that there are probably others of us here today that we've taken that step of following Christ, but if we're really honest about it, even as we sit here today, we recognize that we have become lethargic in our faith. And people know everything else about us except that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And so today, God, I call those people. You call those people to courage and to faith and to say, God, I'm tired of living this complacent life. Today I want to reconnect with you. And I want to ask you to fill me with courage and strength and faith. Because you called me to be clothed with Christ. God, the important thing is today that all of us take that next step forward. That's my prayer. That's my hope. So God, fill all of our hearts with hope and courage and faith. God, we thank you that you are at work in our lives right now. Just the fact that we're here today in this room. None of us are here by accident. It doesn't matter if we were dragged here by our husbands, our wives, our family members. God, we're not here by accident, which means you are at work in our lives right now. And we celebrate that, and we thank you for that now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.